Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beaten Track podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. Today's episode, I'm joined by Barry Ashworth of the Dub Pistols. And this is a great chat. You know, we talk Spike Island, we talk The Clash, we talk about one of the most amazing records ever made from a band that literally just turned up, took the roof off with this seminal monster record, and then just kind of, they burned bright for a while, and then, So we go, I won't say the names of the tracks because, you know, I want you to listen, but this is a cracking chat. Before we get on with it, just a big thanks to Scroobius Pip and everybody at the Distraction Pieces Network. Thanks to 76 for producing this. If this is your first time listening to Off the Beaten Track, then why not go and have a rummage in the archives? Because you'll find loads of other episodes on here from people that we talk about. You know that I've got episodes with members of the Specials, Madness, lots of Barry's Sunday Best label mates, including Sunday Best, Rob the Bank, Scroobius Pip, Dan Lassac. We also speak about longtime Dub Pistols collaborator Lindy Layton. I've got an episode with Lindy. Go and have a rummage. You will find loads of other great episodes to get stuck into in the archives. Let's get on with it. Please enjoy Off the Beaten Track podcast with Barry Ashworth. I've got an announcement. Save Our Souls Clothing, www.sosclothing.co.uk. Why am I telling you this? Because they're our official sponsor. Yeah, that's right. Go and check them out because their clothing is off the scale. You're going to love it. So they've decided they want to be our sponsor, which is amazing. And what I have to do is I have to tell you about why they're amazing. So here's a little bit of blurb. So they've only been going a year. And they're based in Southend-on-Sea, just up the road from me. They put the company together based on a love of tattoos and alternative music. And they've worked with some of the greatest artists around the world to produce these items of clothing that are as unique as you lot. All of the designs are printed using biodegradable, sustainable and water-based inks. And in addition to that, they only print on garments made by members of Fair Wear Foundation. I mean, come on, great clothing and a conscience. Since going live in April last year, they've seen their audience grow massively and are now selling orders all across the world. And they were recognised by Cosmopolitan magazine as one of the best sustainable clothing brands alongside names such as Stella McCartney. I mean, that's quite a first year, right? So go and check them out because they've put a lot of love into supporting this podcast and I couldn't be happier. What else they've done is they've given you 15% off. So if you head over to www.sosclothing.co.uk, do a bit of shopping, see what you like, throw it in the basket, and then on the way out, put in the discount code BEAT15, BEAT15, and that'll save you 15% off. Amazing, right? www.sosclothing.co.uk. Official sponsors of Off the Beaten Track podcast. Let's get back to that podcast. It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network with me, Stu Whiffin. Hello and welcome to Off the Beaten Track podcast. Joining me today via the means of Zoom is Barry Ashworth. Hello.
Hello, mate. Again, take two.
How are you? Well, you're looking sharp. You said you've had a haircut today. How long overdue was that?
Yeah, I mean, like most people, I guess. I mean, for a start, I'm in the middle of nowhere. I'm moved out of London. I'm properly in the arse end of nowhere now. I'm kind of like in a little village called Reed out in Hertfordshire. So it's been a while, you know. And suddenly I got a phone call this morning that I had to go and do some fit. I've got to go and making a new music video at the moment for one of our songs. And I've got to go and shoot a video. And I absolutely look like, I'm starting to look like, you know, Wurzel Gummidge. So it's like, right, they're going to sort that out. It's bad enough as it is, you know.
So, yeah. Well, you're looking sharp now, mate. So I guess we should kick things off, really. And we always do that with the song that has the greatest ever intro.
Yeah, I mean, as you know, as I spoke about when when we first got online, I said to you, like, you know, any given day that this could change and that I probably had... 100 choices for each single one of these answers. How many can I give you?
well, start with the one you was going to go with, and then you can throw some in after that. You literally look pained when I put it on you then to actually give me one.
Because it is like if I say this, I guess the reason I'm going to say this one is because... It was because I was at their biggest ever concert, and it was kind of like one of those hair on the arms moments. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And it would be the Stone Roses, "I Want to Be Adored," and it was because of that moment at Spike Island. And I know everyone says they were, but I honestly was there. And you know, the intro to this, it's one of my favourite bands of all time anyway, but it's just one of those songs that, you know, Ian Brown to me is up there, you know, he's a god. But like I said to you, I could have gone anyway, but I think it was because of that moment and just because of that time that I had up in Manchester at that show. Do you know what
I mean? Did they open with Adored?
I can't remember for the life of me. That would be, like a lot of things in my life, my memory is very foggy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been too coherent. I wouldn't have imagined at the time. Do you know what I mean? So I can't remember. I remember the only thing I remember was coming backstage, walking along the back, and Oakenfold was playing, and Gary Crowell's "Beef, How Low Can You Go" was playing. The rest of it was very sort of like, in what order the rest of it came in, I can't remember. As I said, it could be, you know, it could easily be Superstition, Stevie Wonder. I think, you know, that's one of the most fantastic intros of all time. And for other reasons, you know, Pink Floyd, you know, "Wish You Were Here," you know, for the days of lying at home on acid.
Of course.
Do you know what I mean? That feeling of euphoria. So, there's 100 I could pick, but if I had to go with one, then I would say Stone Roses, just because, you know, it was in my life I'll never forget.
I want to touch on that moment. I'm sure we'll get back to that, because one of the songs you've chosen for your clubbing is going to sort of take us back to that point as well. But I can't believe you've just mentioned that Gary Clough record. I've not thought about that for probably about 30 years, and I've not heard it for 30 years either. So I'm definitely going to go and check that out.
Well, it wasn't until we started, and you started to ask me in what order, and I was trying to then remember what I remembered.
Yeah.
It was like, that's probably the only thing I remember.
Yeah.
Was coming along the back and hearing that song. Do you know what I mean? Which at the time was a massive track in a club we used to do called Monkey Drum. You know, it was like, you know, so, I mean, I haven't heard Gary Crowell in years, do you know what I mean? I'm not even sure what he's doing now, but it was just, that track was an absolute bomb at the time.
Human Nature, that was another one, wasn't it?
Yeah, Human Nature.
That's a tune. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Something wrong with human nature.
So around that time then, you went up to Spike Island, and did you ever sort of get up to, did you get stuck into the Hacienda? Did that happen?
Yeah, no, I mean, I wasn't a regular at the Hacienda, but we were running clubs. Obviously, I went to Ibiza in 87, so I started, you know, spent the summer there. And then after that, came back and started running nightclubs in London with a bunch of mates. We used to do a club called Monkey Drum on a Monday night. And that's everyone from the Stone Roses to Oki to Ramplin to the Mondays to the Soup Dragons. Everyone like that used to come down there. And then we started doing bigger nights, and we ended up doing Naked Lunch, which was a huge night, at the Southwest One Club, at Studio Valbon, at the Café de Paris. You know, because you move around, you tend to have like a year, 2 years in a venue.
Yeah.
And then, you know, people don't come anymore, and then you sort of shut it down and you find a new venue and you start again. So that was kind of – so at that time, I guess, I was running some of the biggest nights in London, certainly, some of the biggest clubs for sure. And through that, we got into the network. And obviously, 87, 88, after the Summer of Love, you know, because before that, everything was very territorial. Everyone, you know, it was very stuck to their own area. And you certainly couldn't go to another city. After 88, suddenly football violence changed, you know, after all the Hillsborough and Heysel. And then everybody was doing these. Everybody was on the terraces chanting, these are good. Do you know what I mean? And it was like, you know, and suddenly you could go, because of everybody was loved up, you could suddenly go to Manchester, you could go to Leeds to Back to Basics, you could go to Nottingham to the Bomb, you know. So for that, I built, you know, Slam in Glasgow. And so from that, and that's where I built that network of friends up from, you know what I mean? So that's kind of how I started moving around the country and got to know all these different people and all these different clubs, because that was my life then.
Yeah. Okay, track two, Barry. First song you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you?
Yeah, again, it's a really difficult one, because I could tell you some sort of like movie that I went to, like Grease or something. Do you know what I mean? You know, because it depends what kind of emotion you want to talk about.
It can be any. Like, it can be joy. You know, it can be sadness. It can be euphoric. It can be whatever you want.
Yeah, no, and again, it's something I've tried to think about, but you know, my mum was really into her soul and her R&B and so, you know, I used to listen to her record collection a lot, and I've always been aware, growing up on an estate, you know, and I think the song that I'm going to choose. Not only resonated then with me, but obviously is as poignant then, now as it was then.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I remember the first time I ever heard it absolutely blew me away. Do you know what I mean? And because I've always been into sort of, you know, music of a black origin. Do you know what I mean? And so, and obviously always been very aware of racism, at having, like, you know, friends and grown up on council estates and you know, witnessed it firsthand. I think he was listening to this song, which is obviously Sam Cooke, A Change Is Gonna Come, which to me is just one of the greatest songs of all time. It just blew my mind. Do you know what I mean? I think it also broke my heart. You know, it was like, you know, to just the emotion in the song is just unreal.
It's beautiful. You know, it's a beautiful record, isn't it? And it sounds like there's so much almost longing in it for something that you can tell he almost feels isn't going to happen. Do you know what I mean?
Well, you're talking about a song that was recorded, what, 1964?
Yeah.
You know, and he's talking about a change is going to come, and we're in now 2020.
Yeah.
And we're still waiting. But don't get me wrong, we've come a long way. But we're still, you know, talking about, you know, change is going to come. And it's come, but it hasn't come for anywhere near far enough. And that's why I think I've chosen that song. And because we just had that song, Stand Together, which is very much of the same kind of sentiment, but nowhere near, like, not on this level, you know. I mean, you know, and the whole story behind the whole thing, you know, where he's, you know, Sam turns up with his wife and he's, you know, goes to check into a hotel and he's on tour and he's not allowed to check in, you know, the shame of it all. And it was just like, you know, and like I said, and that still resonates today. You know, half my band is black, you know, and I've toured across America with like DJ punk rock and things like that, who's a, you know, was a Marine, and yet he was still terrified going down south. And I'm only talking about like 10, 15 years ago. Crazy, do you know what I mean? Right? And yet he's a huge guy, was still terrified of going down south, you know. So, you know, it was it's this song, you know, it's just, that says it all.
So what do you think that emotion would have been, Barry?
Shame. But it wasn't really shame then. It was just, I don't know, just the deepness of the whole lyrics, and just the feeling, you know, just the feeling of the despair, and but also the hope that you, same as you feel now, yeah, I guess the shame and the feeling of ignorance that people can feel towards other people. You know, I think it's that. So I just love it. I leave it. Just even the intro. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's
just
beautiful. Like, some strings, isn't it? It's lovely.
Absolutely stunning. Mind blowing.
So where was you? Where was home then?
Home was on a council estate in Sutton in Surrey. A place called Benhill. So, yeah, that's where I grew up. I used to go to Carshalton Boys, where Carl Cox used to go. And in the end, we moved, my family moved to an estate up in Rose Hill, which is just up the road near Carshalton. And Cox's family used to live about 3 doors down, Carl and his sisters and things. So they used to do the local town hall, Carshalton. Him and Oki used to do Wallerton Town Hall and Carshalton Town Hall.
Nice. So,
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Nice. Well, let's stay around that time. For track 3, Barry, someone reminds you of your time at school.
Right. Well, I mean, obviously for me, the two-tone movement was that time that I really think I started to really embrace music. Maybe a little bit before that, because obviously I think, but I think this song, and I drew the album cover, and it was hanging on the headmaster's wall outside the Eton school. So I doubt it's still there now. But I was very proud of that. But it isn't the best song from the era, certainly not. But it's the song that reminds me of being at school most. I think would have to be Baggy Trout, and then they're not even my favourite two-tone band. I mean, I absolutely love them. Don't get me wrong; I'm a massive Madness fan. Mm. and, you know, been lucky enough to tour with them, and Suggs has been on stage with us and things. But Baggy Trousers just reminds me of my school days. Do you know what I mean? It's a fantastic fun record, but it just reminds me of exactly what being at school was like.
Yeah.
So Madness, Baggy Trousers for sure on that one.
That probably would have been mine as well, mate.
Like I said, the Specials to me were my favourite two-tone band by a million miles. But Madden, that song just reminds me of school.
But I think Madness kind of moved out of that two-tone thing, you know, quite quickly,
they didn't all split up, but I guess like all the scenes, they kind of it fell off. It didn't fall off, actually. It's still massive now.
Huge, and one of my favourite bands, and I think that they don't get the credit they deserve as pop songwriters. You know, their songs. I mean, you could probably reel off 20 songs, and everybody would know the words.
I mean, you've only got to go to one of their nights, and it's just hit after hit after hit after hit. And it's all, you know, feel good. I mean, My Girl, do you know what I mean? Our House, do you know what I mean? It's like, you know, they're absolutely brilliant.
Why is lyrics as well, you know, when you look at them sort of throwing in stuff like Embarrassment and that, you know, at that time.
Yeah, I mean, I love that. One of my favourite songs as well, do you know what I mean? It's like,
great record. So how was school? Did you enjoy it?
I don't think anybody enjoys school when you are in school. You don't get to enjoy school till you leave school and appreciate it. I think I set fire to the science lab.
on purpose.
Yeah. I left. I was always bunking off. I mean, it's weird because, again, coming from a council estate, if you were any good at anything, i.e. you were any good at school, you were kind of frowned upon. Do you know what I mean? And I don't mean that, and I don't mean that to be, but, you know, and I was doing all right, but I was also absolutely terrified of failure. So when it came to my exams, I'd just done one.
Yeah.
I'd done one before I had to take any because I just fear of failure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I absolutely skipped off very early. So, I mean, I've got, like I said, at the time, I think I got thrown through the, I was quite small. I was the second smallest kid in my year. And I remember being picked up, put in a bin once and thrown through the sixth form window as well. So, you know, that was quite an experience. But generally, looking back now, it was a great time. I'm just going to, just one second, mate. I'm just going to plug my computer in because I think the power's about to go.
No worries.
I'm going to move. So generally it was, at the time I hated it, but looking back now, I really stick with it. I loved it. Do you know what I mean? And I wish I could go back and do it all again. Ours was a great sports school, and I loved playing for the school football team.
Was you a confident kid?
I was a leery kid. I wasn't a confident kid because I had an accident when I was 4 years old. I fell on a live rail, and that meant that I've got like quite severe burns all over me. Do you know what I mean? So I used to hate taking, I mean, I still do, you know, still do to this day, hate taking my top off or anything because I'm quite severely sort of scarred. But because of that, I was, and unbeknown to me at the time, the teachers would, basically talk to the class before I'd ever go in and have words. So I was only ever shown love. I think I was forgiven for a lot of the things that I got up to because of.
Yeah.
Thing. So I wouldn't say I was confident. I was leery, but especially for the size. Do you know what I mean? I think if I was bigger, I would have got hit a lot more. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, I was definitely leery, but I don't know if I was confident. I don't know if they, you know.
Did you know what you wanted to be when you was at school?
No. I think like everybody, I wanted to be a footballer. I mean, I was absolutely football mad. Do you know what I mean? I was obsessed. And I think a lot of people at that age, you really want to, you know, that's what you want to do. It's like, you know, it was like those days, it was goalposts for jumpers, eh? It was like, cool. That's all you did was go out all day long and kick a ball around in the street. You know, and computer games weren't around then. You know, I remember the first ever Atari. So
yeah.
I think I wanted to be a footballer, but I don't think I've ever known what I wanted to be. You know, it's just things just seem to have happened at certain times in my life and have taken me off in different directions.
Was music making a big dent though at school? Was it something that you was like passionate about?
Oh, absolutely. No, I think I can't remember what age it is where you really suddenly, you know, the first things kick in. But yeah, absolutely. You become obsessed. You know, I guess like anybody, any teenager now or yeah. any, there's a point where suddenly it becomes all encompassing. Do you know what I mean? And
yeah.
All you do back then, all you used to do go and record shopping and collect records and play records. At the time I used to be, you know, about stacks, you know, one of those stack systems. That's yeah. how old I am. Do you know what I mean? And go to, I guess it would have been Woolworths
yeah.
or H&V at the time and buy, you know, buy records. That's all I did. It wasn't until I got older, obviously, that, you know, I'm becoming a DJ that used to go up to London. But at the time I used to go to the local high street and just
yeah,
buy.
Totally.
And I used to love having the little pile of records and watching it grow.
Oh, mate. I'm still the same. It's pathetic. Like, still the same. But well, I mean, this fits lovely to the next question, Barry, which is, what was the first record you remember buying from a record shop?
I was trying to think about it, and my mind is so clouded, as I said, about time, and I tried to chronologically put it into when was that record out, because my mind might be confused, do you know what I mean, as to what it really was. But the one that I guess stands out the most and that I think it must have been would have been the Sex Pistols, you know, God Save the Queen, you know. It was that's the one that I remember, but it could have been a few.
Yeah.
Like, because I am totally, just like I said, it is clouded to me. Totally clouded.
How much of a dent, like, did...
Never mind the bollocks, Solly. Sorry, not even, you know. That was certainly the first album. I might not even been rich enough to afford an album at that time. You know, so it might have been a single that I went for first.
How much of a dent did that make on you, that kind of punk... I mean, and just the starkness of the cover of Nevermind the Bollocks. The fact it's got the word bollocks on it, like, you know, as a young lad, like, and then, you know, then you put the needle on the record and you're just hit with this fucking wall of guitars and this gnarly vocal that's talking fucking crazy sense that's being discredited everywhere.
I just think at the time, again, I mean, punk to me is something that I've tried to be all my life, not in sound, but in attitude.
Yeah,
do you know
course,
what I mean?
It was
the whole idea to me of punk was to just kick up everything that you possibly could. Do you know what I mean? To throw everything. And just at the time, you've got to remember, the country was in absolute chaos. Do you know what I mean? And it really was just fuck off.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It was like nothing, you know. And it just absolutely blew you away. And I just, you know, I don't know how long I stared at that album cover for, how many times I examined it, how many times I played that record, and how obsessed I was by the lyrics.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was like, you know, it was just... And that went on for the... Throughout my career, I always said that we were punk, but we're never... It was never... To me, if you try and... copy the punk sound. You know, there's a lot of punk bands out. To me, then you totally miss the whole point.
When
do you know what I mean?
Gets to me, like Mohawks and stuff like that. You've missed it, haven't you? It's like
you've missed it. You're copying something, and you're so, you know, the whole point was to fuck off everything and be completely original.
Yeah.
Try and be as experimental as you can.
Yeah.
Throw everything into the pot that shouldn't work and tell everyone to fuck off.
That is a mindset and an attitude, isn't it? Not a genre of music, you know.
It's not a sound. No, it's not a sound. It's a mindset. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's like that's what the punk ethos was,
yeah.
And it still is. Do you know what I mean? So anyone, like I said, be whatever you want, but to me, if you try and copy a punk sound, then really you're not.
Yeah. Kids making music on their phones is as DIY and as fucking punk as it was back then. Do you know what I mean? Like it's
exactly that.
Okay, so I mean, I should let's talk about record shops because you mentioned Woolies and they sell records in like Boots and John Menzies and all of these places. You know, they had the best bargain bins when I was a kid for records. But then as you start getting into DJing, like how important and how much time was you spending in, independent record shops?
Well, I would know whenever the import vans were coming in each, which day of the week and at which shops and what days. And so at least 3-4 times a week I'd go around London and there were so many different shops that you could go in. And I would just spend hours in there. Most of them by after a certain time, New Year, so you'd always have a pile, and then you'd be lucky enough to go and sit at the back and go through everything. Do you know what I mean? And they'd know what you want. But yeah, I mean, at least 3-4 days a week was just spent. The whole day was just spent record shopping. Yeah. You know, just to find those gems to play, because back then, like I said, there was only a certain amount of copies that were going to come in on that van, and you had to have one.
Good times, right?
I missed it a lot. You know, I don't miss lugging records around.
Yeah, of course.
Do you know what I mean? And I don't miss. A lot of my records now are in storage. Do you know what I mean? I don't miss. I mean, at the time, I loved it, but living in a 2-bedroom flat in South London without any space at all to walk through. Do you know what I mean? Because it was just covered in records. Do you know what I mean? I loved it, but obviously. When you start having relationships and things like that, it starts to get a bit overwhelming,
Totally.
The Killatrix Future Weapons EP is out now. Seven tracks. Listen on all the major streaming platforms or find out where to buy in the show notes. It's badass, like me, the sexy robot lady. Ooh yeah, baby. Right there. That's good.
Track 5, Barry. The song that soundtracked your years in Clubland.
See, again, I don't think there can be a more punk record than this. I don't think there can be more of a punk band. In fact, this was the perfect. This is the perfect punk attitude and the perfect thing, anything that one band can do, which is to make a record that's so good and then disband. I mean, they were nothing but trouble. I had them play at my club loads of times. They used to hang out at my club. We had the amount of times I had to throw them out. It was unbelievable because they were just wrong ones. Do you know what I mean? But And they also put on one of the best parties. In fact, I think it probably is the best party Barry Mooncult put it on.
Yeah.
He was a window cleaner and found this huge mansion in where was it? Hampstead. And he it was empty and he squatted in it. And it was just like the party went on for 2 days. I think we had 2 or 3 days. I remember being carried out by the police in the end. There was a bed where the carpet seemed to be so deep, it was like about a foot deep. There was a swimming pool in it. There was a revolving bed. There was it was just like, the place was just unbelievable. And it was just like, yeah, it was possibly the best party I've ever been to in my life. It was just jaw dropping. And then they made this song, and I think Clive Langer produced it. It's 15 minutes long. Wiz, who is an amazing amazing director, shot the video.
So good.
I remember going to the premiere at Heavenly and watching it, and I think Jeff Barrett was in tears at the time. But, yeah, Weekender flowered up. Because at that time it just, you know, it encapsulated everything that clubbing was. I guess it's Quadrophenia. It's quite, I mean, the video is very much Quadrophenia.
Starts with the Michael Elphick line, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah. So it's Quadrophenia in 15 minutes. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's like, but it just went like, even the detail of the little Dennis the Menace pills, the little Dennis the Menace when he's laying in the bath, do you know what I mean? Was like, you know, it was just unbelievable. And the fact that it was 15 minutes long and still became a hit record, do you know what I mean? It's just like, can you imagine that now? Nowadays, you've got attention span of 15 seconds, do you know what I mean?
That'll
it's
push.
Like, you know,
and
that breakdown in the middle. So,
you
know, it's just like, Weekender, fuck off.
it's a fucking incredible record. It really is. And for those, I mean, there's a Spotify playlist to accompany this podcast. So go and listen to that record and the full version as well. And yeah, and Barry Mooncult, for those that are wondering, was like this, or Bez, wasn't he? He had like.
Yeah, he was Bez. Bez had Maracas. Barry Mooncult was just dressed as a giant flower pot man, really, wasn't it? Just dressed in a flower. And I guess, I mean, I was in a group then. We started a band which signed at Cowboy Records, and we very much want, my inspiration was the Mondays and that, because that was kind of the feeling that I wanted to create. But I think realistically, they were the only answer we had. There was Earth and Airstream, but it was really, there was only Flower Up that had any answer to what was coming out of Manchester at that time.
And their story ends pretty bleak, isn't it, really? Like, they both...
Yeah, I mean, it was horrendous. But, I mean, like I say, as a moment in history and as a song, I think it's as important as anything, any of the other Manchester bands or whatever have did, and the ending encapsulates club culture at that time, and it's got to be that song.
Couldn't agree more. Do you know, I think the first time I saw them, bizarrely, you mentioned Clive Langer, the first time I see them was Supporting Madness.
Really?
Yeah. Well, they'd done the first Madstock with Ian Dury, Morrissey and Gallon Drunk. And,
right.
And I guess that might have been the Clive Langer connection, maybe.
I mean, I got to become friends with Clive because I used to work in a film studio next door called Westway. He used to have West Side Records, which is West Side Studios, which was next door to the film studios, which was Westway, which was just underneath the Westway in West London. And that's where we used to throw a few pies in a film studio there. Do you know what I mean? That actually flowered up, got thrown out of as well there. Especially mayhem there actually as well. Yeah. So yeah, I used to play five a side with Clive Langer nearly every sort of lunchtime.
Brilliant.
So we become friends. And I used to always go and sit in the studio all the time and hang out there.
Wonderful. Barry, track 6, favorite song from an artist from your home county.
I didn't realise it was favourite song. I obviously read that wrong, and I thought it was most favourite artist from my home county.
We can roll with that. That's fine.
Yeah, no. So I read that wrong. So I was just going to give you a band, so now I've got to choose from that band, and it really depends whether or not I can actually claim it, because technically they're not from. Surrey, which is obviously where I'm from.
I've had some tenuous links before. I've had people claiming bands because one of them went to college there. This was
exactly that. It was Joe Strummer went to Ashton University. Yeah. So I would say it would be the Clash. But if it had to be someone from my own county, then I guess it would be the Jam, because obviously I'm just an absolute Paul Weller nut as well. But and there's not much to say between the two, but the Clash to me were, one of the greatest, alongside sort of the Specials. But any three of those I could pick, Jam, Specials, or the Clash, I'd say they were my favourite. The Specials, obviously, Coventry, so I can't go anywhere near those. But Joe Strummer, because he went to Ashton University, and if I had to pick a Clash song, it wouldn't be one of the obvious ones, I don't think. For me, it would be Straight to Hell.
Yeah, tune.
Do you know what I mean? I absolutely love the lyrics in that song. I love the groove in it. It's just an absolute awesome tune.
You mentioned something earlier about, what is the age when, you kind of start to get music? And I think, just touching on the three artists you said there, I think so much of that moment where you get music is if there is a shift in culture and a shift in a music movement, and whether that be what happened in Ibiza in 87, whether it was Manchester in 88, or even you look at that movement with the Two Tone Movement or the Clash. I think if they're in your lifetime, that's when I think something like that will grab you, and then it will form you, like the Jam to this day. How many people like yourself, 30, 40 years later, still, loving, what Weller does?
Well, those songs still resonate. I mean, it'd be such a great song like Paul Weller, do you know what I mean? Mm. It's like, he still wrote, his lyrics are still evocative now, do you know what I mean? They're still, I was a massive Style Council fan, but then certainly Cafe Bleu, but the second album, where we had this sort of DC Lee love in, I kind of was like, and I remember going to see him two nights at the in a row at the Royal Albert Hall, and it kind of was like, just pissed me off. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It was like he was having this love in with her, and I was just like, this is not what I've come to see. I'm not happy. But I did love the Style Council, and I just, Weller's just keeps going up. And I've met Bruce quite a few times. We've done quite a few shows with him doing his From the Jam show. So, fantastic bass player, and can still do that fantastic kick that he does with the O's. Do you know what I mean? Which is mind blowing.
Absolutely. Do you know what? I'm not a massive fan of Weller's sort of solo stuff, really. I'm not huge on it, but this
Stanley Bow was a good album.
The first one with Into Tomorrow and Aha, Oh Yeah, and all that, I like that. This bit and this Rising's on there, that's a tune. And but the new album, I stuck it on the other day. I think it's one of the best things he's done in a long time.
I think he gets hit and miss, though, doesn't he? Mm. Can get hit and miss. And I got to admit to you, I haven't sat down and listened to it yet. And I've sort of really wandered off, do you know what I mean? Yeah. So, whereas before I would have been obsessive about making sure I listened to it.
Yeah.
But I haven't, and I've got to be honest about that.
Yeah. I mean, if you've put out the amount of music that he's put out, you're entitled to have a couple of albums that might not be right on point. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
It happens to Bowie, happens to everyone else. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I think he's earned the right. Last song, Barry, and you can play DJ on this one. A song that many may not know that you would like them to hear.
Well, this song is it's a song it's not a DJ song. It's a guy's an incredible talent. I mean, he died way too early. But it's a song whenever I'm feeling down or whenever I just want to lift. It's just a song that just puts a smile on my face. I mean, people, if you haven't heard it and they hear it, I don't think they're going to be expecting for me to say this song. But it's, I just love the lyrics. I've met Terry a few times, and he was an absolute, just a lovely human being. Let me just go. I should have done that. I've been professional and turned my phone off earlier. sorry about that.
It's all right.
It's all right. Sorry, mate. But it's just, yeah, it's one of those songs that it just cheers me up every time I hear it. And it's Terry Callier, Ordinary Joe. You know, like I said, it just listen to his whole catalogue. But like I said, he died a couple of years ago, very young, and an amazing talent. But that song just cheers me up. It makes me smile. It always makes me feel good.
Wonderful. Barry, as we find ourselves coming out of this weird sort of few months we've had of quarantine, what's coming up and what are you most looking forward to?
I don't know what's coming up because you just don't know what the law, you know, at the moment. And that the reason that phone was going off is I'm in the middle waiting for a phone call today because we're on the final day and the final SAGE meeting of knowing whether or not our Mucky Weekender festival is going to be allowed to take place or not take place. And that was my business partner there on the phone. So we are literally waiting. We have the license. We have all the COVID safety plans. We have everything that we possibly can in place. It's down to, there's one more meeting tonight with the police, the ambulance service and the fire service to take a vote and let us know whether or not that can take place. So possibly that on September the 11th. My whole year was based around this moment of and a fantastic, as you know, Dub Pistols tour 11 months of the year. This year I've got an album coming out exactly the same week, September the 11th. On Sunday Best. So my whole year was planned around touring festivals, and then the end of the festival season was Mucky Weekend, which still might go ahead, and our album's going to drop then. And like I said, I just don't know. You know, I should have known, because what you probably don't know is my company, and we've got a documentary coming out called What the Fuck Could Possibly Go Wrong? The History of the Dub Pistols, which is like the story of every band, everything, basically. And it was before when we were doing 6 Million Ways to Live and we were like Geffen's number one priority the week of 9/11, and it all went tits up. And that was it. And obviously a lot of people lost their lives and had the world changed. But that also had implications for us that took years to get over. So when I picked the day, I really should have looked at it and thought about it a little bit harder, because sure, I think I'm jinxed myself. Do you know what I mean? It's like we've been here before, Barry, haven't we? Because this history repeating itself. So yeah, I've got a new single coming out called Call Up featuring Lindy Layton.
Lindy's been on here a couple of times and she's one of my favourite people, Barry.
I love her. I was just down her house. I was just talking to her actually this morning, and we were around her house.
The craziest house you've ever seen.
It's amazing, isn't it? It reminds me of, I don't know if any of your listeners or anything have ever been to the Crazy Bear, but it's like, it reminds me of the Crazy Bear Hotel. Yeah. It's a sexy place. Do you know what I mean? It's got that sort of very Asian provocateur sort of feel to it. Do you know what I mean? She's a very cool, stylish girl.
Oh, mate, so cool.
She's got a heart of gold, and she's a great talent. She's very passionate about what she does.
So
we got Call Out coming out with her, and then the album in September. We got a tour planned. Whether that will happen, I don't know. I mean, you know, like every musician, I am in limbo. You know, I just don't know what. I've actually, during this period, recorded two more albums. But I don't know what else to do.
Well, you ain't put your feet up then. That's good.
No, I've been, you know, I just don't know what to do with myself anymore. I've been going out, like I said, moved to the countryside, so I'm going out, walking around, writing a lot of music, doing streams, but not streams for my own ego sort of fulfilling type streaming. Do you know what I mean? Look at me, streams. I've been doing streams for charity. Like, I did one for the Save the Black Rhino, which raised over £13,000, which is fantastic. Oh, yeah. So the last you know, they're the last actual wild black rhinos that are, in, you know, not in captivity. So that was quite important. A patron for a mental health charity called Tonic Music for Mental Health, which Cherry Hall from Specials is a patron of as well. So I'm doing I've got a flying circus actually, which was supposed to have happened in May, where I've got Bez, Rodney P, Cuban Brothers, Too Many Teas, Slamboree, and many others. And basically, we'd strap ourselves to an aeroplane and fly around and and raise money for a fantastic charity. You know, I'm really proud and honoured to be part of the charity.
Wonderful. Well, best of luck with that. Best of luck with the album. Fingers crossed for the festival, mate. And Barry, thank you so much for your time today.
Absolute pleasure.
Thanks, mate.
No problem, brother.
There you go. Barry Ashworth of the Dub Pistols. What a chat. Amazing. Go and check out Barry's charities. Go and check out the new music. And if it goes ahead, hopefully you'll be down there at the Mackie Weekender enjoying yourself. Thanks ever so much for listening. As mentioned at the beginning, if you enjoyed this, then go and have a look in the archives, because there's over 160 episodes of pod chats with some of your favourite DJs, musicians, stand-up comedians, actors, producers. Go and have a look. You can find out about everything at offthebeatentrackpodcast.com. I'm back next week. See you soon. Bye-bye. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I've butted in yet again. I just want to quickly tell you about this magazine. It's called Pod Bible. Now, Pod Bible is the new essential guide to podcasts. It's put together alongside Spotify and Acast, and it's a one-stop shop to tell you all about the podcasts you maybe know about, but definitely about a load of the podcasts that you probably don't know about that we think you should know about. I mean, in the first edition, there's interviews with Adam Buxton, interviews with Craig Parkinson, there's features on Jade Adams, and there's just an abundance of information about so many exciting podcasts that are out there. Also, Spotify have given us these amazing little codes. So if you do get a print copy, you can just turn on your Spotify on your phone, scan the little code, and it just automatically opens up the podcast on your listening device. How good's that? If you haven't managed to get a print copy, then just go over to www.podbiblemag.com and read it online, because the digital version is all over there and it's all free. So every other month there'll be a new edition out. So go and have a look and support us on the social medias as well. Podbiblemag.com.
It's Off the Beat and Track Podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whippin.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.